Let's open our Bibles tonight to Psalm 96. And the idea of Psalm 96 is, well, what we just did, we worship, not to get weary of worship, but to sing to the Lord each day and to feel blessed by the Lord each day as he sends his blessings and we bless him back and declare his glory. That's what worship is, declaring God's glory. And Psalm 96, verse 1, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving." Interesting. Tomorrow is the day we give thanks. And we should remember to be thankful for the things that God has given us and make a joyful noise unto him with... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading Psalm 95. Shall we start over? No. Psalm 96. "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." Although Psalm 95 and Thanksgiving, what's appropriate for tomorrow? "Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people." Glory and wonders. And when I think of God's glory, I just happen to be fascinated by our universe around us. And, you know, in every opportunity I get, I like to go out and do research and just look at it. And according to latest research, our universe is 45 billion light years across. Well, how far is that? It's the distance that light travels in 45 billion years. It's a number of miles with 18 zeros after it, if that helps. Doesn't help me. I can't picture it. But in other words, if you left the Earth at the speed of light, it would take you 45 billion years to get across it. And I thought 70 was getting old. Really. And, you know, there's a website called the Hubble Deep Field. Check that out sometime. It shows some of the pictures that they're taking nowadays with the Hubble telescope that's out past our atmosphere, so it's not hindered by the atmosphere. And, you know, what happens is every year the distance increases and the stars increase and the count increases. And they estimate that there are 400 billion stars in our galaxy. 100 billion known galaxies today. And people have the gall and the nerve and the foolishness to say, in the beginning there was nothing and it just all blew up and now we have all of this. It's amazing what people will believe. But God made it all. And just that alone, if we just think of the glory and the grandeur of what he's made, those are just a few points. You can go out and investigate for yourself. It's amazing when you start looking into nebula and black holes and such. But he is the one who is worthy to be praised because he is not only our Savior, but our Creator. Not only our Creator, but our Savior. So, okay, verse 4 of chapter 96. "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." So he is truly the only God, the only God, the only true creator God. And, you know, mankind in his own wisdom, quote-unquote, tries to figure out who God is and names gods and makes up his own gods and his own idols. But the idea is that God made the heavens. And creation really isn't reforming things, but creation is making something out of nothing, not taking what is already there and reforming it. That's what we do. We take and we create. We say we create, but we actually take, you know, wood and make houses. We take paint and pigments and canvases and we make paintings. But we're taking existing things and that are already created and being creative with them. But we don't create. Verse 7, "Give unto the Lord, all ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth." So praise shouldn't be something that just passes through. You know, okay, we do, you know, we meet on Wednesdays and Sundays and sometimes at different times during the week, and we sing praise, but our hearts should have an attitude of praise all the time. And it's what we do because knowing who God is and knowing that He made us, knowing that we actually can't even be without Him. We wouldn't even be here. We can't exist. We can't have being. Being made in His image, we can't have body, soul, and spirit without Him. We can't have life without Him. We can't have an earth to walk on without Him. And here's something I ran across. Consider this. Man uses the mind that God gave him to convince himself and others that God doesn't exist. Isn't that, what an irony. I wish I'd thought of those words. You know, when you sometimes I read a lot, and sometimes the things I read, they go, it's kind of like a forehead smack or a dope slap, you know, it just, wow, of course, it's so obvious, but I didn't think to write those words down. And the psalmist here isn't saying that there are other gods, but that people think there are. There are a lot of people that think there are. You know, that we want to embrace everything. No, we really don't. We want to embrace the true and the living God. And even those who deny God's existence actually have their own gods that they worship, those that they give allegiance to and loyalty to. The Bible calls them the gods of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, or they give worship to the God of this world, I should say. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, "But if the gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost." It's not hid from you. You know the gospel. You can read it and you go, oh, that makes such sense. But to those people that are lost, it is hidden from them. It doesn't make sense to them. And it says in verse 4, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Wow. Starbucks put a little horoscope thing on their counter at one point and said, "If you think your life is run by the stars, give allegiance and loyalty to what the stars say." What? If you think your life is run by the stars, give allegiance and loyalty to what the stars say. They're saying that God is not in charge. There's just this power of, we can look at the stars and see what's coming in the future and what's come in the past. And they're basically saying that God's not in charge of it all. That's a dangerous place to be, and the Bible warns against it. The devil and God aren't the good God and the bad God. That's not who they are. God being the good God and the devil being the bad God. It's not that at all. The devil was created by God. He's under him. He has to get his permission in anything he does on this earth because he's a creation. He gets any power and authority from the Lord. And we need to remember that. He's a created being and powerful. And certainly when we worship, we're recognizing that God of this world doesn't rule this world. He has a lot of power in it, but God is supreme. God has all authority in the world and over everything that touches our lives. In verse 10, he goes on to say, "Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. Rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth." Well, we have a great commission in Matthew 28. It says, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." So that is the Great Commission. And Psalm 96 actually is similar to 1 Chronicles 16. Why don't we turn back to 1 Chronicles 16? 1 Chronicles to your left, not very far. 1 Chronicles 16, 23. Because it's amazing how similar some of the verses in the Bible are. 1 Chronicles 16:23, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation." We there? Wrong place? Did I hit a wrong place again? 1 Chronicles 16:23. Okay. Wait a minute. No. Oh, you know what? Hang on. I'm in chapter 23. Okay. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all the nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. And those, again, he's not saying that there are those other gods, but simply that mankind makes these gods up, and he's above everything. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let the men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. And as sure as this earth is established, Jesus will one day come and return. He already died and rose again, walked on this earth, and then ascended and sits at the right hand of the Father. And that will never be changed. And when that happens, he will not be moved. And we know that today, tyrants, dictators, they rise and they fall. But there will come a day when Jesus will come and he will judge righteously. And that is a cause for rejoicing. I ran across a story about Abe Lincoln. There are a lot of stories about Abe Lincoln. Well, when an elderly woman, she had no official business at the White House, but she wanted to see President Lincoln, and so he consented, and she came in, and as she entered, he rose to greet her and asked how he might be of service. She replied that she had not come to ask a favor. She had heard that the president liked a certain kind of cookie, so she had baked some for him and brought them to his office. You know that if that happened today, it'd never get through all the testing and, you know, the poison testing. I can see it going into the lab. But with tears in his eyes, Lincoln responded like this. He said, "You are the very first person who was ever come into my office asking not, expecting not, but rather bringing me a gift. I thank you from the bottom of my heart." I thought that was a really touching story, and how that could never happen today, could it? It couldn't happen. First, you couldn't get close enough to the White House through all the guards. But you could certainly not bake anything for a president that he could eat. But we can, you know, I'm glad that she had access in that time, but we have access to God all the time. We can come to his throne all the time. Can't bring him cookies, but we can make any request known to him that we want to be known. And, you know, how blessed he must be. Like, I think of Lincoln in this instance. He was so blessed that she just came to him to be with him, to bless him, to give him something. And how blessed God must be when we just come to him to be with him. Just a quiet time in the morning. Well, I find morning is probably the best time of the year, the day, to spend time with him, because it's a quiet time. And while there may be traffic out on the road, I'm not part of that traffic these days. And it's nice to just have that quiet time with him. But how, you know, when we usually come to the Lord and have requests or petitions, or, you know, we're always something we want from him, but how blessed it is that we just come to be with him. When you think about the mercies of God, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. And when we come to him and say, "Lord, I don't want to be conformed to the things of this world, but I want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that I may know what is that good and perfect will of God." You know, what a blessing that is to God when we do that. We just come to him. "God, I want to just be with you. I want to be more like you," just to be with him. I like what Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man and woman that trusts in him." So spending time with the Lord. Let's see, Psalm 97. "The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. In some ways, Psalm 97 is similar to 96. It's a psalm of joy, a song of joy, you know, like joy to the world. The Lord has come. We'll be singing that soon. We'll usually sing that at our Christmas caroling. And many think that this refers to the second coming of Christ to establish his kingdom of 1,000 years on the earth. And only then will the earth rejoice. I am certain. Verse 7. Confounded be all they that serve graven images. You think about that. Somebody who serves an idol, how confused they are. To think that they can take, well, if you have an idol, you can take it and put it in your backpack. You can put it in your pocket. You can put it on your dashboard. You can put it in your glove compartment. You can put it on your dresser. In other words, you have the ability to do with God what you want, that little image of God. I want a God that's greater than me that can move me around, not one that I move around. And I just lost my place. 7. Given to the Lord. Given to the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Given to the Lord glory and strength. Given to the Lord the glory due unto his name. I'm sorry. Why? I did have my eyes checked today. I just went to the eye doctor, and he said, you don't need glasses. I think I do. Okay, I'm sorry. 97. All right. 7. Confounded. Oh, that's where I went off. Confounded, how confusing it is to hold an idol. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols, and worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgment, O Lord. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. It's a lot of churches have a very sophisticated editing program where you can take the sound thing like this and cut out things like my own mistakes and stuff like that. And this kind of just goes raw out there so people know that I'm fallible, and that's all right. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy in the evil way. In the froward mouth do I hate. You know, as we just studied Romans 8:22, and we know that the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain together, and we went through all of that already on Sunday. And we know, I love verse Romans 8:20. I just want to quote it once again. We know that all things work together for good, because we can hold on to this. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And you notice that it starts, for we know, and we know, we can know ahead of time. So, what a blessing to have that assurance. 11 and 12. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. And who's righteous? In those who are in Christ. And give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And, you know, the Lord uses this reference of light to speak of truth. Our Proverbs 13:9 says, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Isaiah 2:5, just a few verses here. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. So we're in the light, we can see. 2 Corinthians 4:3. In 4 says, but if the gospel be hid, just read this, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And then it finishes in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4, says, for God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Always light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And he says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Matthew 5, he said, you are the light of the world. You know, we, right now, we're the light of the world. I mean, Jesus is the light, but we're carrying that light. We're torchbearers in that sense, that we're bearing the light of Christ to whoever we run into, hopefully. Psalm 98, a song of joy and worship, continues here. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. And all throughout Israel's history, I should say, God has done, he's speaking here of these marvelous things. And we know that there will come a day when the Lord will bring salvation to not just to us, but to Israel also. And it will be known worldwide. And we know that Jews and Gentiles alike will take part in this millennial kingdom that Jesus is going to bring. And Jesus, in this grace, in this plan that God has formulated from before the foundation of the world, will bring in salvation and peace to Israel, to all who believe, and really peace to the earth. Verse 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise, and rejoice, and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. And, you know, he's like, how will we respond to that reign of God on the earth? It'll be loud, it'll be joyful, it'll be a wonderful noise. And I know that depending on where you go, different churches around the area, the nation really, that some over the years denominations have rejected loud worship. Sometimes there have been places where they rejected anything but like a keyboard for worship, saying that the guitar and drums and things like that were tools of the devil. You know, here's the Lord saying, you know, here we got harps and a cornet is a short trumpet, and it's a brass instrument. And there was lots of noise as the Israelites worshipped, and there is nothing wrong with good loud worship. But you know, again, the Lord our God is the Jehovah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's certainly worthy of praise. And we know that Jesus Christ, the millennial king, will receive our praise. Now, that will be an awesome time. Verse 7. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. So I think the idea here is, you know, you got the land and the thunder and the clouds and the waves. It's like saying, well, you know what? There's nothing that we can make on the earth that would be enough to give total glory and sufficient glory to God. We don't make loud enough instruments to give God full glory. And he says, so we can let the earth praise him too. Let his creation praise him. And so God's entire creation going to be joining in the praise. You know, it says even the rocks will cry out as we joyfully lift up that praise to our Messiah, our Redeemer, as he judges the world fairly. And we are, you know, God is a fair judge. Today, I think oftentimes in our system, started out pretty good, but now it probably has a lot to do with who you have defending you. I mean, if I use the words OJ or the letters OJ, would that ring a bell? But I think God judges fairly, but I dealt with some of the silly laws that are around. I found some more. Here's one. It is illegal to drive more than 2,000 sheep down Hollywood Boulevard at one time. So, you know, Watch the videos. In Denver, it's unlawful to lend your vacuum cleaner to your next door neighbor. In Gary, Indiana, persons are prohibited from attending a movie house or other theater and from riding in a public streetcar within 4 hours of eating garlic. Okay? In Tennessee, it is illegal to shoot any game other than whales from a moving automobile. Isn't Tennessee landlocked? Yeah. So, in other words, you're not to shoot out of your car for animals. It is Texas law that when two trains meet each other at a railroad crossing, each shall come to a stop and neither shall proceed until the other has gone. Okay. And it's illegal in Wilbur, Washington to ride an ugly horse. Now, I don't know who judges what ugly is, but I think of some of the laws that have come across our land, and they think, oh, my, did they just need something to keep them busy? What is going on here? And, you know, while God and the Messiah and the ruler of this earth will judge rightly and righteously, sometimes we get kind of silly. Sometimes. Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He sits between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loves judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Songs again of joy and praise to the King, whose throne, he says, is a throne of grace and mercy. And it's important, I think, to have that attitude of praise to the Lord daily in heaven. That's what we'll do. We'll praise the Lord. I don't mean we'll have, you know, choir A over here and choir B over here, and we'll have a concert. But we will spend a lot of time praising him. And I think here is where we practice and we kind of warm up for the big event, you know. And if we don't praise him here, why would we want to praise him for all of eternity? Let me think about it. Why should we praise him here? Because he's the creator. He's our savior. He's wonderful. He's gracious. He's faithful. He's holy. His loving kindness never ends. He's patient with us. He's always good to me. He's always good to you. And this, the God who is the God and the creator, who would lay his life on the line, his son, to die for us. That should move our hearts to praise. It's amazing. I think we have time for Psalm 100. That's a really short psalm. 5 verses. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Notice it doesn't say harmonious or a cappella in harmony. Everybody ringing and, you know, harmonizing with one another. It just says, lift your noise up, all ye lands. Everywhere where God's people are. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come in before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting to all generations. Wow. So Psalm 100 is kind of like a hallelujah chorus, grand finale of this group of psalms. And I think he's emphasizing that we worship before him with not a sour face, not a bad attitude, not a wrong attitude toward him or toward one another. And worship is a place to help our attitude. not a place to have an attitude. And the idea is to have our heart in the right place as we're worshiping. And church is a place where we come to give strength and encouragement to one another, not to suck the life out of each other, because that's what the world does. And I'm not trying to be heartless, but if we're down and depressed all the time, 365 days a year, maybe you know people like that. I know I go through cycles like that where I'm just like really down. But if we're down, it's hard to be encouraging to other people. And the Lord is there to lift us up in prayer. I don't know about you, but I find if as I'm walking around the house, if I'm humming worship songs under my breath or out loud, it helps to lift me up. And if I have a sourpuss on all the time, who's going to want what I have? I don't have that to give away. Like the guy that went into the restaurant and says, "Do you serve crabs here?" And the waiter says, "Why, yes, sir, we serve anybody here." Yeah, so, yeah, interesting illustration I found. It's called "What Are You Looking For?" And I have not thought about this before, but it compares two birds, the hummingbird and the vulture. The hummingbird and the vulture, they both fly over our nation's deserts. All the vultures see and seek after is rotting meat, because that's what they're after. They thrive on it. But hummingbirds, they ignore the smelly flesh of dead animals. Instead, they look for the colorful blossoms of these desert plants. And the vultures live on what was. They live on what was past and has died. They fill themselves from what is dead and gone. But the hummingbirds, they live on what is. They seek new life. They fill themselves with freshness and life. And each bird finds what it is looking for, as we all do. And sometimes we face temptations. Sometimes we're overcome by temptations. Sometimes we have to come to the Lord asking His forgiveness. But this isn't worship. Worship is when we come to God and praise Him. One of the commentators I was reading said, "Bars have happy hour." This is our happy hour without booze. You know, it's a time of worshiping the Lord, just studying His word. And it saddens me when I see how the world gathers together around alcohol. Every place, alcohol. But there will come a time when the whole world will sing. It'll be joy to the world because the Lord has come. Right now it's joy to the world. The Lord did come, but He went back, and He's coming again. We do sing that around Christmas time, though. Joy to the Lord, joy to the world, the Lord has come. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." We're His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. Our shepherd is the creator of the universe. And we can worship Him as our creator. We can worship Him as His people, His sheep of His pasture. We're His sheep because we're redeemed. And the shepherd died for His sheep. That's amazing. We can enter into His courts with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. And that's how God wants us to. He wants us to enter into His presence with praise. And we need to come in here with that attitude of praising the Lord so that we just don't wither and die. The Lord, we need that part of the Lord, the praise. It's not, we know this, that it's not a social club we gather here, but to give glory and honor to God. In verse 5 says that the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endures to all generation. God doesn't run out of goodness, He doesn't run out of mercy, He doesn't run out of truth. A third century man was anticipating death, and he penned these words to a friend. This is written, 1,700 years ago. He said this, "It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world, but I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are called Christians, and I am one of them. And that's where real joy is found. It's found in Christ alone. And you know what? Joy is just one of the byproducts of that obedient heart that says, yes, Lord, your will be done, and praise you for it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time that we can gather, Lord, in your name. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the praise, Lord. I pray you'd give us praiseful hearts, worshipful hearts, joyful hearts, Lord. We can just stand in your presence and know that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you have chosen to save us, Lord, and to redeem us, to seal us for all of eternity. And what a joyful thing that is. That alone is worthy to be praised, Lord. That we don't have to be confined to the things of this world, but there will be that time when we'll pass out of this domain into your presence, Lord. That's praiseful news that you sent us, Lord. Thank you for that. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.